that you're believing in. And I really want to zero in on the basics. I really want to zero in on Jesus. I really want us to focus on what Jesus means to us and what salvation means. Now, you're here, and I don't know what state you're in. I don't know where you come from, what your understanding of the Scripture is, or what your understanding of Christianity is. What I definitely have learned is that everyone's kind of in a different place as far as that goes. We're all on a journey, right? Every one of us, we're on a journey. And like it or not, believe it or not, when you die, when you leave this earth, your journey is not done. Like it or not, believe it or not, you are a spiritual being created by a God who exists. And I think we all kind of share some things in common. Even if you're at a place in your life where you don't believe that there is a God, even if you're at a place in your life where you don't believe that there is right and wrong, on some level, you know when you messed up. I was born and raised in Portland, Oregon, which means a lot of things. But one thing that that means is that most of the men in my family were hunters. And most of them are actually bow hunters and follow kind of a strict policy of only killing what they're going to use or take or actually consuming the meat. They're very utilitarian in that way. But when I was young, I started to learn how to fire a rifle. Well, actually, I started with gun safety. I was taught gun safety for quite a while and actually went through a gun safety class and then learned how to fire a rifle. We had a rifle in the family that was an old Winchester, a lever-action 30-30 Winchester. So some of you are old enough to remember Gunsmoke and kind of think, you know, Gunsmoke. And a 30-30, you're pretty similar to the power of a 30-06. And so there's a pretty good amount of power in a rifle like that. So I was going to go with actually one of my uncles on a deer hunt. We got a tag, and we're going to go on a deer hunt. Got up early in the morning, and he was actually bringing his son, who was a few years younger than me, along with us. And he was a bricklayer, my uncle, and his truck, his huge beast of a truck, just would not start. So we ended up in his wife's little four-door Volkswagen. Not really funny to see my uncle drive a little four-door Volkswagen. And so he was already frustrated, and then listening to the radio, driving out of town, actually heard that some people had spotted a buck on a golf course that we had driven past. So he was even more frustrated. And so, long story short, we're scouting, we're going different places, done some hiking, come back to the car. It's starting to get a little bit later in the day. Hadn't eaten lunch yet, but it was past the normal lunchtime. And we get back in the car, we're driving this stretch, and I'm sitting in the front in the passenger seat, and I have the rifle that I'm holding, you know, in my lap, kind of pointed at the floor of the car. And we were driving in this one area to get to a clearing to kind of find another spot to hike, etc. We're way, way out in the woods. And he says, now we might see a deer come up right here in this little stretch where we're driving, so you should be ready. Well, I, of course, deduce that means that you chamber around. So I take, some of you don't understand the vocabulary, so I take a bullet and I slide the bullet in the appropriate spot. And on this gun, you have to pull this lever this way, which pulls the hammer back, and then you pull the lever back. Now, this is an old lever action 30-30 Winchester, so there is no safety right here. It's just the hammer. And what you have to do to reset the hammer, to set it down so that it's not ready to fire, is you have to kind of ease the trigger and then ease it down with your thumb. This is great technology. And so I have the rifle, and we're driving along, and I'm putting the round in, and I'm setting it down, and he says to me, now don't shoot a hole in my wife's car. Bam! Literally went like that. He said that, there was a pause, and boom, the rifle went off. Now thankfully, I was smart enough that I did not have the barrel resting on my foot. It was actually resting on the floor of the car. And by God's grace, some happy accident, the bullet went down into the gravel on this road and broke into a couple pieces, but ricocheted up and thankfully went right between the tire and the oil pan. So a couple of different ways that we could have been stuck out in the boonies, we were not stuck. But I turn and I look at my uncle and he is shouting at me. I can't hear a thing because we had all the windows up and a rifle just went off. I wish this story were not true. And so, of course, we get out of the car and, you know, there's still plenty of shouting going on, which I still can't hear. I made a mistake. And when we got back, I said, "What'd you get?" And he said, "Well, Ben shot a rabbit." It was a Volkswagen rabbit. I think we can all say that we've made mistakes. Right? We can all say that we've made mistakes. Now, sometimes it's a little bit less dramatic. Maybe it has more dramatic effect, but how it occurs is a little bit less dramatic, maybe not as memorable. But over the course of your life, pretty soon you realize that you're carrying the weight of your mistakes. Are you with me? Right? Now, I love chocolate chip cookies. You know, I could talk about that for an hour, but I won't. But one of the things that my parents did was get a cookie jar. And the purpose for the cookie jar was to keep me at one at a time, as opposed to being double-fisted with chocolate chip cookies. Because there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. Right? And that's a part of a parent's role, to help keep you from throwing up everywhere. Right? There is such a thing as too much of a good thing. So there's different ways that we make mistakes, but over the course of our life, we do start to carry our mistakes. So I want to highlight a couple of passages of Scripture just for the sake of time. You don't need to turn there. But let's start Genesis chapter 2. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's our title for today if you're wanting a title. Forgiven and Free for a Fresh Start, How Jesus Changes Everything. You'll see it again. Genesis chapter 2, in the creation story, here's what God says to Adam and Eve. "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat this fruit, you are sure to die." So from the point that God is developing, initiating his relationship with the human race, essentially everything was permissible. God said this one thing. And if you actually think about it and consider the scripture, it was not that he was banning them from the knowledge of good and evil because they already had that to a degree. It was one thing. Why was he doing this? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Paul is writing a letter to people just like you and me. Believers, don't know the end of the story, don't know how it all turns out. People that have made mistakes, people that are in need of Jesus. And Paul writes this, you can see it on the screen as well. "God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they are. But as people sin more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant." God created all of us with a free will, with a choice, with an opportunity to choose, and with an opportunity to choose whether or not we would take advantage of relationship with him. What Adam and Eve had from the very beginning was access to relationship with God. And God gave them a choice. He gave them a choice where they could choose. Do I want to stay in relationship with him, or do I want to disobey him and break my relationship with him? The next verse. "So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, this is important that we understand this concept. It's important that every time we approach Scripture, which is a way that God revealed himself to us, the one true God, the God who is in control of everything and everyone, he chose to reveal himself to us, and this is one way that he did. And so it is better for us to read slowly and to seek to understand what we're reading and to do life in community, to ask other people to help us to understand what's going on. So just as sin ruled over. Now, let's break that down. If I use the Bible to interpret the Bible, in other words, if I use other verses in the Bible to help me understand this, What he's saying is that as sin has been in control, or in other words, where I can't help myself. Right? I mean, bless you. There was a time in my life where you put chocolate chip cookies in front of me in a stack and I will not stop. Right? Why? Because my craving is in control. Have you ever felt like you had a craving that was in control? This is like this is a part of the human condition. Anna's having pregnancy cravings. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death. Now a Bible definition of death is separation. Physical death, my spirit separates from my physical body. But spiritual death, which is a big theme in Scripture, is when I do things, sin, that separates me from God. Okay? Sin, God is holy. He cannot be one with sin. A price had to be paid. Right? Sin ruled, brought them to death. Now God's wonderful grace rules instead. God wasn't going to leave us in that place. Giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I had a job once where one of the small tasks that I had to do was to manage the my team's cell phones, their bills, and all that stuff. Well, at one point early on, we had all of a sudden a $900 overage charge with AT&T between the seven phones. Now, nowadays, that's not that hard to imagine. This is quite some time ago. And I had to figure out how did we get $900 of overages with AT&T? And I was on the phone with AT&T for more than 2 hours, and all I can tell you to this day is this. I don't know how it happened, but they forgave it. They wiped it out. We never had to pay the $900. Now, if I today have that problem, and they don't wipe it out, and we can't figure it out, and I don't pay my bill, what happens? They turn off your service. That phone becomes a paperweight. Right? Right? What happens when you break relationship with someone over and over and over and over? When you do something against them that you should not do? That relationship comes to an end. Right? It's the same thing with God. When we choose sin, we're breaking relationship. But God, through His grace, brings us back to right standing. There's no one in this room who can bring yourself to right standing with God. There's nothing you can do to earn enough favor. There's nothing you can do to make Him happy. There is nothing you can do on your own. There is nothing that you can stop doing the wrong thing. There's nothing where you can do enough of the right thing that will bring you back into right relationship with God. There is nothing but Jesus. But Jesus, who chose to be our sacrifice, Jesus is the one that brings us back. And Jesus paid the price. When He died on the cross, He took upon Himself the penalty for our sin. He took the penalty for our sin. So now, by God's grace, we can be brought back to right standing with Him. That's amazing. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. Romans 6. Now we also may live new lives. You don't have to live your old life. Jesus doesn't come to improve your life. He comes to give you an entirely new life. A whole new life. Romans 6:6. We are no longer slaves to sin. Why? Because of Jesus. Mm-hmm. When you have something in your life that you can't control, you can't stop doing. When you have something in your life that separates you from relationship with other people, when you have something in your life that's separating you from God, you're a slave. Who's in control? We think we're in control because it's our craving. We think we're in control because my parents, this was done to me, this was said about me, or this is, I was born of this nationality or that, or this is just what we do. Everyone in my family has this problem. And you know what happens? We start to wear our past. We start to wear our chains. We start to convince ourselves that it's actually comfortable. That it's actually supposed to be a part of our identity. That thing that's in control, where we are not in control. That thing that we can't shake, that thing that we can't let go of. We start to believe that it is us. That it is who we are. Am I telling a lie? There's no perfect people in this room. Not one. In this room today, we have sinners and forgiven sinners. That's it. No one's better than anyone else. Not one. I mean, y'all look beautiful, but forget about it. We start to say that this is a part of us. But guess what? Now, right here, right now, if you've never heard this before, your reality just changed. Because right here, right now, you know. You don't have to live this way anymore. Right here, right now, you know what the truth is. And you know what that truth is? These don't define you. These don't make you. You're not a slave anymore. You have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice to receive a new life in Jesus. Entirely new. You know what we do? We go back and we pick him up again. Proverbs says, like a dog returning to its vomit. How sad must that make God? That we would choose our cravings over relationship with Him. The only source of love, hope, peace, and joy. The one thing that He cannot do. The one thing that He will not do is break your free will. He gives you a choice. You can choose. Jesus has paid the price. It's done. It's settled. Being clean. Being free is now possible. I don't want to be stuck anymore. I want to be free. I want to walk light. I want to enjoy my life. Do you know that in God we don't find a huge list of rules, and in God we find huge freedom to enjoy His creation, which includes chocolate chip cookies. Right? Now, we also may live new lives. You are no longer slaves to sin. Romans 6, 10 and 11. When he died once. This is so important. Consider this. Please, let this be a part of your reality. He died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. How do you look at yourself? Am I alive? Am I free? I am alive. I am free. I now have this choice. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. It is a connection. It is not magic words. It is when your heart, when you believe, when you come to that place of repenting. Jesus said, and this passage from Mark is actually talking about something that Jesus would repeat over and over and over. It was his theme, his big idea. This passage is writing about the big idea that Jesus communicated to everyone that he would see over that period of time. Jesus said, repent of your sins and believe the good news. Jesus is saying, you were going this way. Repent means I turn around. Hello? I'm not going that way anymore. He's saying, you have a choice. I choose to turn, and now I go this way because I'm free. I'm free to have this choice, to make a turn. I repent. I turn from where I was going, and I turn towards Jesus. Because he's good, because he's gracious, because he loves me right where I am today. Because he's not holding over me guilt. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. So stop holding it over yourself. Be free. It's not how God looks at you. He doesn't look at you. Once you have confessed your sins and confessed your faith in him, he no longer looks at you through a lens of your past. He no longer looks at you with the shade drawn to the mistakes that you had made before. He no longer sees you the way that you see you. He sees you through Jesus Christ. This is amazing. This is life-changing. The writer of Hebrews wrote, Hebrews 2:3, how then shall we overcome if we ignore so great a salvation? We need to spend more time dwelling in how great our salvation is. Amen? Right? So, what does this mean? Please, let's stop and consider. What does this mean? It means that when I come to a place, like Jesus described, John 3, right before the famous words of John 3:16, being born again. I come to that place of repentance. I'm forgiven. It's done. It's settled. It's over. It's not in the past. It's no longer in the past. Oh, somebody, I'll give a shout right there. Come on. I'm forgiven. My forgiveness in Jesus means it is no longer, it's not in the past, it is no longer in the past. I'm not going to heaven to repent for my sins all over again. Hello? It's no longer in my, I am forgiven. I am made right. I am brought back to right standing with Jesus. That changes whether I still have a problem with how short I am or heavy I am or my tendency to do this or my tendency to do that or whatever my insecurities, whatever the things that I don't like myself. You know that none of that stuff matters as much as the fact that I am now forgiven, released, set free, clean. I'm forgiven and I am free. I am no longer compelled. Now, I would encourage that you spend time in Romans because Paul writes about this. I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I do want to do. Paul kind of has his Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, Gollum moment of back and forth. Gollum and Smeagol, back and forth. Paul said, and so some of you didn't get that. It's okay. You're just as fantastic. All of us have that experience where after salvation, there is a period of time where we find ourselves doing things we don't want to do. But you know what's beautiful about that? You're aware and your cravings are starting to change because now you don't want to do it anymore. That's a beautiful thing in and of itself. Hello? It's amazing. So I'm forgiven, I'm free, and I have a fresh start. I've been made new. Because Jesus changed everything. And what is, God doesn't want you, as you approach death, to approach death like a reality show loser, insecure. He wants you to be happy and confident and assured and aware of where you will go when you die. Hello? That's what he wants. He wants you to be in a place of having that assurance, of having that fresh start. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. That's what he wants. That's what he wants for you. That you would know that you've got a fresh start. You're clean. You're made new. Will you stand with me, please, and we'll close in prayer? I'm well aware of the fact that there may be people here today that you have not yet come to salvation. Maybe you can mentally agree with the things that we have said, but you haven't had that born-again moment. And I want to welcome you. Listen, there's time here for you, here and now. Just step out from the aisle, come down to the front. One of us, myself, one of the ladies, one of the other leaders will pray with you and help you through that process. Help answer questions, get you to a place of confessing your sin and confessing your faith in Jesus. That's why we exist. It's why we're here. We're not here to do church. There's really nothing that we do as a church more important than making time and space for people to come to Jesus. There's nothing. Nothing is more important than that. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then I want to welcome you to come forward and to receive Jesus as your Savior. It's simple. It's not complicated. It's very simple. And we'll pray with you. This is a beautiful thing. It's an amazing thing. And after we close in prayer, feel free to greet someone and love on them and enjoy your day and watching the Ravens whoop up on the Bills. But we have in the coffee shop out just past the refreshment area stuff for you to eat and drink that's free. You don't have to buy their stuff. You can get something from us that's free. And it's a great spot, the coffee shop right across the hallway here, for you to just get to know somebody else in the church. This week we are starting new small groups. Okay, Ben, will you wave your hand at us? Okay, Ben and his wife Kristen, and then Nate and Brittany. Nate, can you wave at us? Nate and Brittany, and then my